Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
Today we're in part three of our series, and I'm so excited because we have a guest speaker with us today. And so many of you know she was at the ladies' retreat, and she was the guest speaker for the women's retreat. You've seen her here before. Her husband is Eric Parton, and you know they're some of our overseers of Generation Life Church. And I said to our crew out there, I always get a little nervous when it comes to my youth pastors, because they knew me when I was like 15 years old, right? Anybody have like photos they don't want anybody to see, or, you know, some stuff you don't want anybody to know? So Darlene's very gracious, but Eric is hilarious, you know? And so he just throws it out there. I remember when you were a punk or whatever. But I'm just so grateful and thankful. I remember one time Darlene spoke a word of wisdom to me that... you might not know this, but it actually changed perspective for me as it relates to long-term goals, ministry, life. And after I rededicated my life to the Lord, I didn't want to have any girlfriends. I was determined I was going to be like the Apostle Paul. Like, I didn't want anything. I was focused. And I remember we had a little leader meeting in their living room, and there was 12 of us, and we were student leaders. And I remember we were talking about, I don't know, some of the East Coast girls or something. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't know about any of those girls. You know, we're friends and all, and they're great girls, but I just don't see it. It's not in the cards for me. And Darlene said, your wife will add to you. And, oh, yes, she does. But what it did is, like, first of all, I didn't think I was getting married. But second of all, I was like, okay, so that means I need to, like, refocus my attention and look for a high-quality, high-class, good-looking, let me take some time, artistic, whatever else, encouraging, good-looking, fine, you know, let's keep, anyway, just a woman of God. And so, and of course, I got to marry Katie, and we're still honeymooning, we're 24 years strong. So, amen. So, Darlene, thank you for that word. Anyway, I wanted to just say that, but we're so excited to have Darlene. I just want you to give her a warm Gen Life welcome. I'm talking about make some noise in the building for Darlene Parton, everyone.
Well, good morning. How's it going? Hi, girls. Didn't we have fun this weekend? It was so much fun. I loved it. I loved just getting to see your heart for each other, and you guys are just so easy to be with. I just had such a blast. I do want to say it's so funny whenever I talk to kids. Keith's a kid. How old is Keith? 49. Yeah, he's a kid. When I talk to some of the kids that grew up in our youth ministry, and they'll say, I remember when you said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that was really wise. I don't even remember saying that. I didn't even know I thought of things like that. That's amazing. Like, wow, that's so cool. I'm in such a different place in life now. So it's cool to think about history with people. I do want to talk a little bit about that. You know, we're in this series called Rewind. And so we're going to rewind just a little bit, you know. You guys, I think your tagline is taking it back to the book of Acts. And I just want to tell you about taking it back with Keith and Katie for a moment. Okay? So, yeah. Listen, these guys, the funny thing is that Keith was a teenager in our church who had a mama that made sure he was in church. And I can always remember him coming in, sitting in the back, he was so polite. He was always polite. And Eric, what did Eric call you? What did he say? Yeah, a thug. We like to joke around Keith was a thug. You guys aren't laughing. Like, your pastor was a thug, y'all. He was a thug. No. But you'd see him in the back. But I'll tell you what, when he made a decision to follow Jesus, it was like just this complete turnaround. He was all in. And the funny thing was, we used to do this summer camp called Revo Summer, and there were multiple youth ministries that used to come to our summer camp. We hosted it. Keith had become one of our youth leaders in our youth ministry. And I had known Katie for years. Katie was at a church that was down the street from us. But we had such great relationships as churches in our area that we, like, our youth would get together. We would have rallies. We would do stuff together all the time. But the one big thing that we would do every year is we would have summer camp together. We would all do Revo Summer. And one year we ended up in a different location. We were in South Carolina. And that is when Keith and Katie fell in love. I don't know if that's when they fell in love, but I know it's when Katie decided that was going to be her man, I think. And what's so funny is, like, when I heard they were dating, I was like, what? What? That just, like, I don't know, it just seemed so, I don't know, Katie just was always so full of energy, so much fun, just told it like it was, you know, like, nothing bothered her. She just... And I got to sing on the worship team with her quite a bit, like during some of the youth things that we did. And it was just a blast. But Keith, man, he was so serious. He was so serious about his relationship with God. It was awesome. But, you know, aren't they just an amazing couple? And let me, yeah, give them a hand. Give their whole family a hand. I want to tell y'all this. Y'all are so blessed to have them as your pastors. You guys are so blessed. Because you know what? They are the real deal. They are the real deal. When they're at home, they are the people that you see. I mean, they're praying with their kids. Like, I get convicted hanging out at their house. I really do. Like, yeah, my friend Chelsea's here. She's like, yeah, I get convicted too. Like, I'm telling you what, they love you guys. They love Jesus and they love each other. And y'all, there is nothing better than that. So I just want to let you know, you guys got, seriously, you got some of the best pastors around. You're so, so blessed. So, okay. So that's a little bit about Keith and Katie. One of the cool things about the youth ministry at that time, I can tell you, I can look back now and I can go, oh my goodness, all the people that are in full-time ministry that were a part of that youth movement at the time. That is a big deal. They were a part of something really big. And that's why I think, too, they are the real deal. Because there was a real transformation that had happened in their lives, which brought them here today. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my church. My husband and I, after we left the church that we were at in Merritt Island, where we knew Keith and Katie, we started a church called Shoreline. The funny thing is, yeah, and we're in Destin, Florida. I don't know if you've ever been there. I love it. It's such a beautiful place. But Keith and Katie actually came to work with us for about a year. So that was really cool. But I'm going to just kind of give you some of the highlight reel, okay? Just give you a little bit of the highlights. The highlights are that we were portable for 12 years. So, yeah, so we know what it feels like to be a portable church. It is different, but this is a special time in your church where you guys are growing because you're doing the hard work together. We did the hard work together, you know? But currently, we are, oh my, how old are we now? We're almost 20 years old. We'll be 20 years old next year. Yeah, we got a building in Destin, Florida that is an old nightclub. It was a 40-year-old nightclub when we moved in, one that we used to go to when we were younger. And we remodeled that thing. It is the coolest building ever. I feel so incredibly blessed that that is our church home. And I know God's got something great for you guys at some point. But you know what? It is not about that. He'll give you a building when you need a building. He will open that door when it's time. I promise you that he will. But I want to show you a little video just so you can kind of see some of the things that we do at Shoreline. We have a huge heart for people who are not going to church currently. And that's a really good thing because people need Jesus and they need church community. So one of the things we do in our community is we reach out during the summertime. We live in a tourist environment. It's a resort town. And so we have this thing called Church at Crab Island. I'm just going to show you a little clip of that real quick so you can kind of get an idea. That's our church boat. Who wouldn't want a church boat? We got two of them. We'll be right back. Isn't that cool? Now, here's the thing. If you've ever read the book of Acts, you kind of get the highlight reels of the new church and how the church started and how it was birthed and how it started growing. I mean, it started out, Jesus ascends into heaven and he tells the disciples to wait there because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to give them the power to be witnesses in all of the earth. So they wait. Then there's Pentecost. I think Pastor Keith talked about that. You know, there's tongues of fire on their head, which represented each one of them individually, which represented that they were actually the new temple, because in the Old Testament, the temple had a pillar of fire over it to show that the presence of God was there. So now there's these tongues of fire, and that is a signal to them that, you know what? The presence of God is now inside of you. You can take it out into the world. So they went out and they baptized people, and they were growing in numbers. And you guys got to have a baptism last week. Congratulations to those of you who got baptized. Now again, we love the highlight reels because it's really cool and very celebratory. It's fun. So I want to tell you, my daughter Michaela has like this huge following on Instagram because she has a business out here at Crab Island and she sells coconuts and pineapples. And let me tell you, it is the coolest. Like, she's got the coolest TikTok and Instagram. Actually, a couple of years ago, she served a coconut to Jamie Foxx, the actor, and that thing went ridiculously viral and her business has been blowing up. But you know what is so funny? Like, you guys, if you watch her, and most people that watch her or follow her, like, you're getting the highlight reels, full on the highlight reels. But I can tell you that I get all the dirty business. I hear all about it. And Keith and Katie can tell you that even this weekend, my phone was blowing up, and most of the time, I was on the phone talking my daughter off the ledge. Talking her off the ledge. She's successful, but I was talking her off the ledge because, man, the stuff that happens behind that highlight reel can be really, really difficult. Now, I would love to be able to show you hers. You can check her out at Wild Destin, Instagram. You can check her out if you would like to. But you know what? I do have another highlight reel of this really great disciple of Jesus. He's a disciple of Jesus. He was part of a movement. He had a conversion like Paul, and I want you guys to check out this video. He's the freshest around. Puerto Rican preacher with a hip-hop sound. Back in 97, he found his salvation. And ever since then, he's been on a spiritual elevation. Trusting his crisp white jeans, his style so clean. With a snapback cap and fresh kicks, he's a rap machine. Spreading the message of love, faith, and grace. He's got the swag and the skills to embrace. Keith, the fresh preacher, spitting rhymes so fly. With a 90s hip-hop vibe that'll make you high. He's all about Jesus, spreading the word every day. Okay. Fresh preacher, call a lady, say, hey! Do you love me? Okay. So, we wrote this song for Keith, made a little video out of it. So, the cool thing is we're going to make sure we have the song for you guys. It's downloaded. I'm going to share it with Chelsea later, and you guys will all get to have that song so you can listen to it again. It's so much fun, you know? But I do want to say that that highlight reel does not even reflect the full range of Keith and Katie's life experiences and how they got here today. There is absolutely no way. And a highlight reel will never reflect all of the complexities, the challenges, the emotions, and the vulnerabilities that make us all human. And the same thing for the movement of the church. You know, we have mostly highlight reels of the church history, including your history. Like, I only know the highlight reels. I don't know all the nitty-gritty. I know some of it, you know, but I don't know all of it. But this is why I love that you guys are in the book of Acts, because it gets down to the nitty-gritty for sure. And, you know, Pastor Keith, he talked all about the revivals that we're seeing right now across the nation in so many of the colleges, you know. We are actually experiencing some revival at our church right now. And seriously, Acts is one of the most exciting books of the Bible, and it is timely because we are in a renewal right now in our country. And Acts shows us that we are part of a much bigger story than the one that we just see right in front of us. And that's what I really want you guys to understand. So we're going to get into Acts 8 and 9. That's where we're going to go this morning. And what I want to tell you before we get going is that the Bible was designed to teach us to live within this story, to live within the story of the Bible. It's going to teach us that. It is not a highlight reel. See, we get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly when we get into Acts 8 and 9. So we're going to do this overview of Acts 8 and 9, and I want to let you know what's really cool is that right at the end of chapter 7, we get to see the first martyr, which was Stephen. He was martyred for his faith. And there was somebody, it's the first mention of the Apostle Paul when he was still Saul, and he watched that stoning happen. And it's really important to understand that, man, he watched that thing happen, and he was not, I mean, he would have been throwing stones, but what he did, he was protecting all of the coats and the things that belonged to the people that were stoning him. So he just stood there and watched it and was probably happy to see that thing happen. So the first martyr and the first mention of Paul the Apostle, I think that's really significant. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to go through verses 1 and 4. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4. Saul wholeheartedly approved of Stephen's death. And on that day, a great and relentless persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And the believers were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and mourned greatly over him, expressing a personal sense of loss. But Saul began ravaging the church and assaulting believers, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, putting them in prison. Now those believers who had been scattered went from place to place, preaching the word, the good news of salvation through Christ. And I'm going to go ahead and summarize up the next part of the chapter in some of 9. So Philip the evangelist, what happens is he ends up in Samaria. And he basically starts a revival. A revival breaks out as people are listening to him share the word and perform miracles that validated the things that he was saying. And there are multiple stories that probably some of you guys have been told. There are stories that have been told over and over again from the early church. And here's what happened during this time as Philip went out from place to place. You know what? People were healed. People were delivered from demon possession. People who were paralyzed began to walk again. And there was just great joy in the city because people are freaking out that this is just so awesome what's going on. Also, there was this man, his name was Simon. He was paid attention to a lot because he would do some supernatural things. And they called him the great power of God. But he was actually a sorcerer. And he believed Philip's message because he saw the evidence of the things that Philip was preaching. And then what happened is he started following Philip. He got saved. He got baptized. And he started following Philip and went with him all around to continue to preach the gospel. And when the apostles heard this in Jerusalem, they're kind of freaking out. They're like, I can't believe this has happened. Like, this is amazing. They're having revival. So they went to meet them and they began praying for people and laying hands on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is just incredible. So then there's this other story that maybe some of you have heard. It's about an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading in this, what was it, like a chariot or something like that? And Philip comes by and he sees him reading the scrolls and the scriptures. And so he goes and he gets up in there and starts to tell him what those scriptures mean. And that guy was like, I believe Jesus is who you say he is. I want to get baptized. So Philip takes him out. He baptizes him. When the guy comes out of the water, by a miracle, Philip is no longer there and he's teleported to another place in Israel. How cool is that? Have any of you guys ever heard that story before? Sometimes I read over it like it's a highlight reel. Like, y'all, that's crazy that happened. Absolutely crazy. But then in chapter 9, Saul, who is out killing Christians, has an encounter on the way to Damascus. And, you know, he sees Jesus face to face, but then he's blinded. He's blinded. And he spends a little bit of time with some believers. But the next thing you know, he ends up getting baptized, and then he's out, and he receives a call into ministry. Y'all, this is the guy who is standing there watching Stephen get stoned. Like, he was watching this guy get stoned, and his whole world turns upside down. Everything changes for him, and now this guy who was killing Christians is out preaching and proclaiming the gospel right away. It's nuts. So the next thing you know, the church starts blowing up just about everywhere. Samaria, Judea, Galilee, everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And again, what I want you to understand is that the Bible was designed to teach us how to live within its story. And what you might not recognize is that this is actually the story of us. And what I mean by that, this is the story of us, the church. There is just something really powerful about looking back on these times and seeing what the Bible said about how the church grew. You know, the Bible was never meant to be rules for behavior modification. I know sometimes people think that it is, especially in the Bible Belt. But what it is, it's a beautiful spiritual framework with living examples and patterns that speak to the times and the seasons that we live in now as believers. And as I prepared to come here this weekend, it reminded me of the revivals that we are seeing all over this country. It reminded me of the revival that we are experiencing right now at our church. And I've seen it before because I saw a revival a long time ago with Keith and Katie when it came to a bunch of young people. And there was a movement of the Holy Spirit and lives were changed and transformed. I'm seeing that same thing right now. So I really believe that these patterns are super important for us to understand. And I want you guys to understand how it is that we might experience revival in this next season, because there's some crazy things happening in this world. Now, what I want to do is I want to go back and I want to reference Acts chapter 8, verse 3. And we're going to learn about some of these patterns that we see. It said that Saul began ravaging the church and assaulting believers, entering house after house. Now, what was Paul doing? Or Saul doing? He was persecuting. He was going from house to house, pointing the finger and killing people. Now, I was tempted when I thought about this pattern. I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about persecution and our own persecution, because I know that we all have stories in this room where we had to stand up for Jesus and his work in our lives, even when it was challenging and when it was difficult and people didn't understand us. But what we know in this verse is that Saul was doing what he thought was right as a religious Jew. He was doing what he thought was right. So that when he went from house to house killing people, he was doing it for the sake of his belief. But it was not what he was for. It was all about what Saul was against. He wasn't persecuting Christians because of what it was that he was standing up for. It's what he thought that they were against. What they were for, and he was absolutely against it. Now, I can tell you that right now, there's Christians that are persecuted all over the world. In America, the perspective, I'm not saying it's right, but the perspective of a lot of people, those who don't follow Jesus, is that the church is actually persecuting them. They think that the church persecutes them because they think we're judgmental. They're wrong. They don't understand the gospel. But we definitely don't want to be communicating that. But that's the way they communicate about what the church looks like to them. They sometimes look at us as hypocrites. They think about what it is that we are against. And when I thought about persecution, I thought, man, I would never want an unbeliever to think that I didn't think highly of them, or I didn't care about them or want to love or pursue relationship with them. So I started thinking about, if I were going to take this and learn from this pattern, what I would want to know is, what kind of negative thoughts, God, what kind of attitudes and actions might I be holding on to that are religious, that might be keeping me from seeing people like Jesus did? Because that's what happened to Saul. He didn't see people like God did. He saw him, it was a mindset, it was a religious mindset that he had. And mindsets that place religion over valuing people, man, they're not gonna go anywhere. People are not gonna receive from that. So our thoughts, our attitudes don't they should not be communicating what Jesus is against. What we need to be communicating is what Jesus is actually for. So let's go into Acts, back to Acts 8:4. And it says, now those believers who had been scattered went from place to place, preaching the word, the good news of salvation through Christ. And what we see here, when Philip was going to place, man, he was persistent. He was persistent. He was like chasing down people, and he wanted to love on people. Because of Saul's perception about religion, he did everything that he could to be ahead of him, to grow the strength and the movement of the church, because he was confident about what Jesus was for. And that was loving people, healing people, and transforming their lives. And you know, one of the things I know about your church is that you guys are persistent with getting in the lives of people, because I saw it this weekend. I saw it this weekend. And one thing I can see at your church, and I love this because it's your vision, is that you guys are multicultural, multi-generational, and I saw that this weekend. You are living it out, and you guys are going to continue adding and even multiplying and going place to place. Going place to place. Now, what does that look like for you guys going place to place? Like, you guys probably aren't going out on the mission field. Some of you might be, and that's great, but let's just talk about practical day-to-day stuff. What does that look like for you guys? Well, what does it look like to go place to place, to show the love of Jesus to your friends? What does it look like to show the love of Jesus, the transformation, to tell the story about the transformation that's happened in your life to your coworkers? What is the best way for you to share the good news of Jesus? Some of the things you can do is by having persistent prayer, a persistent prayer life. What about having persistence in learning to lean into people's lives? And then recognizing their God-given potential rather than having that a religious mindset. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying that that's sometimes our propensity to do that when we don't understand people's lives. It could be completely different. So let's be persistent in our prayer and inviting people into our world and leaning into their world. Okay, now we're going to go into Acts 9:22. And this is what it says. It says, but Saul increased in strength more and more and continued to perplex the Jews who lived in Damascus by examining theological evidence and proving with scripture that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Y'all, there is no other way that that could happen except by providence, right? There's just no other way. What does providence mean? It means protection and care and guidance of God. By the protection and the care and the guidance of God, Paul grew in strength more and more. I mean, it's amazing that he was killing Christians, and the next thing you know, he's out preaching the gospel, and that God protected him in that. Like, he should be dead. He should be dead, but he wasn't. God protected him in all of that, and he was growing more and more. So when he met Jesus face to face, everything was different. Everything changed. He was no longer Saul. He became Paul. He was a different person, you know. He had a paradoxical shift in his view, and because of that, he grew in strength more and more. He became the leader of the very movement that he was against, and at a very specific time in history, and God protected him from his past, and he prepared him for his future, and he guided him right into his calling. And I started thinking about it, like, what would that be like for you guys? You know, like, I wonder what could happen as you guys continued, as I continue, as you continue in the word and in the scriptures. And how could it not only change us, but we also need to understand how, allow God to show us how he sees us and how he sees other people. But it also is about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I have this feeling you guys are going to be talking about that all through this series, because, man, it's just awesome. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives actually grows us, and it's a supernatural thing. It's not just because we apply ourselves to the Word, although that is great, and we need to be able to do that, but something supernatural happens because the Word of God is eternal. It has beautiful pictures and patterns that happen over and over again, and it is alive, and it speaks to our lives today. And I know that God has so much for you. And I wonder what he is calling you to at this specific time in history. And I can say it's probably one of the things that we talked about this weekend. And girls, I hope that God is just revealing some new things to you. And I'm going to continue praying for you girls over the next couple of weeks and over the next year. Because Katie and I are friends and we'll be talking. And I want to hear and get the updates of the things that are going on. But again, I want to bring it back to this. This is the story of us. The book of Acts is the story of us. This is the same framework and pattern at this time in history. So what's cool is in Acts chapter 9, this has to be providence. Like, this has to only happen because God's hand is on it and he's making it happen. Because persecution actually started the church. It started it. It got things going. But then this is what happens. Good things come out of it. It says in Acts 9:31. So the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace without persecution, being built up in wisdom, virtue, and faith, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It continued to grow in numbers. So like in this series, Rewind, we've been talking about going back. And the reason that it's important for us to go back is that history provides us with a context for understanding the current events that are going on, the social structures and the political systems that happened then. Because by examining the past, we can better comprehend the origins of contemporary issues and trends right now. See, here is a pattern that is strangely familiar to our current times. Let me tell you something that I dug into a little bit deeper, and you don't read it in the book of Acts, but you can read some commentaries about it. And one of the things that we know that during this time, the reason that the church was growing and experiencing peace without persecution is that there was a ruler that was over the Jews, a Roman ruler, and his name was Tiberius. And Tiberius had died, and there was a new emperor that was put in place. And what happened was that new emperor wanted to put a statue up of himself. So the religious people, the people that Paul used to be a part of, who just would, you know, get outrageous about anything that was going on that wasn't like the religious norms to them, they got focused on all of that. So no longer were they like pursuing the Apostle Paul, pursuing the Christians, but what they were all up in arms about this statue that this new emperor wanted to put up. And they had years. They had a few years. There was a window of about 3 years of building the church without persecution. And what we see here is that in that climate, there was such a distraction, but it was all about what the religious people were against. That's what everybody was focused on. And I think what we learn about that is that, again, if we could really be focused about what God is for rather than against, we will not miss a great move of God. We will not miss what God wants to do in us and through our church. Let's not get focused on the political things that are happening around our world, because it's very similar. This is a very similar pattern that we see here. And we have an election this year, and I'm not even going to talk about it, because we could get super focused on all of that. You know what? We need to do our part. We have a responsibility. But that is different than expanding the love of God, like bringing the church to life. It's a completely different thing. Don't allow it to be a distraction to what God wants to do in you and through you. Everything that you should be carrying is all about what Jesus is for and what he's about, and it's about people. See, persecution, it spread the gospel, but political distraction gave the early church this opportunity for them to spread the gospel and bring the good news. And they did it in peace, free from persecution. And this actually, y'all, this is an election year. Like, this could be the story of us. We could be seeing revival over this next 3 years. And I want us to be prepared for it. And I love you guys. I love you guys so much. One of the things I can tell you, I love you because I love your pastors. And I have known them since they were young teenagers, y'all. And like I said earlier, they're not different people than they were then. They have always been passionate for Jesus. They've always been passionate for people. They have been a part of a revival before. I believe they will be a part of a revival again. I believe your church will be a part of a revival. I really, really do. And I really believe that God sent me here to tell you that. And things might not look that way right now in your community. I'm telling you, they might not look that way. But you know what? It sure didn't look like Saul was going to be a believer or an apostle, did it? It didn't look that way. But you know what? Providence. When God wants to do something, man, he gets the job done. And I believe he wants to do that through Generation Life Church. So one of the things I'd really love to do, I just want to pray for you guys. I just want to pray for you guys. Can you guys stand up while we pray? Let's stand up. God, I thank you that your word is, it's not just instructions on what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But God, it's just this beautiful, beautiful picture of the story of the early church and the story of us now as the church, the continuing movement of this love that Jesus brought, this different way of living, this different way of thinking that was so attractive that believers could not help but get together and be in community with one another, just like we are this morning. And it's just awesome. I love being here. I've had such a wonderful time with a group of women here at Generation Life Church. God, I know that there are people in this room, I don't know what kind of persecution that they have faced. I don't know what kind of religious backgrounds they've had. But one thing I do know, Lord, is that you are for them. You are not against them. And God, I know that they carry your presence. And Lord, when they carry your presence, they carry it to the places everywhere they go. Just like Philip, everywhere he went from place to place, he was carrying the presence of God and bringing life and freedom to everybody who was around him. Lord, I thank you that they would be bringing freedom and the love of Jesus to their neighbors, to their friends, to their family, to their coworkers, God. And God, corporately as a church, God, that you would continue to give them a strategy to reach this city. That there would be times that apostles would come here and say, I am at the church of, is it Hillsboro? Yes. Hillsboro. I'm at the church of Hillsboro at Generation Life Church. And I have instructions for you guys because God is doing great things. God, thank you for doing that, Lord. And I thank you, God, that it's so funny. I just have to tell you guys this as we pray. Our youth ministry is called The New Thing, TNT, where Keith used to go. And we met on Monday nights at 7:14. And the reason that we met at 7:14 was because of a verse in the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And what it says is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will forgive them. I will come and I will heal their land. God, thank you. Lord, all that means to sin is to miss the mark. And really what we need to do is just to repent and to turn towards you. So God, this morning, we just turn our faces towards you. We turn our lives towards you. God, we submit our religious ideas. We submit everything that we have to you. We submit our Bible reading to you. We submit our growth to you. And God, we pray, do a new thing. Do a work through us, God. We pray for revival in our city and through our church. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, God, ahead of time for all that you're going to do and all that you have planned for. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.